Hallelujah. I have a brand new hairstyle. Some of you are wondering what happened. I actually cut my hair myself for the longest. And yesterday, for some reasons, I don't know, I forgot to put the adjuster that adjusts my hair. And I was just going, you know, the way you go. Tony, I know you do the same to yourself. And cut a long story short, I realized, oh, what did I do on myself? And since I didn't want to look like Mr. T this morning, I just decided, you know, it might be as well time for me to let it go. I look good? Yes, yes, yes. You know, I want to join the ranks of Pastor Francis, you know, Julius. You know, if these guys are better than me, so why not just try to be like them? Amen. But anyway, I know my hair is going to grow. I don't like being bold-headed. Praise the Lord. I just want to thank God for what he is doing in our midst. And I thank God. I don't know whether you are sensing such an anointing that is moving in our midst. And you know, in such seasons, because I believe God moves in certain seasons, when God begins to move, we don't want to be left behind. There's sometimes, you know, where God's will and purposes are accomplished in bits, you know, as we're going to see today. And I don't want to be left behind, you know, when God is moving. I feel God is moving. There was a time we didn't have a breakthrough in our worship services. And look what the Lord has done. God has brought us men who are after his own heart in Israel, in George, in my wife, Catherine, in Veronica, in Rod. And I mean, it's amazing. Let me tell you, church, I look forward for Sunday. If not for anything else, just to come and bask in his presence. Amen. And Sunday is the most most longed for day, especially nowadays, in my life. And I'm really, to be honest with you, I really look forward for Sunday so that I can come and corporately join together with us as we lift up the name of the Lord. Amen. And if you can just be sensitive enough and just trust the Lord in what he is doing, you're not going to be left behind. Because God has a wonderful and solid plan for every one of us. Amen? Last Sunday was a very special Sunday. And if you were not here, just please make sure you see Sister Lorraine. And you can get a tape, or a CD. And then you can be blessed, even as we were blessed last Sunday. Amen? And the one more thing I want to say is that when you come to the house of God, come prepared. Preparation doesn't take place here. Preparation takes place from Monday through Friday. And when we come here, it's just a celebration of what the Lord, the goodness of the Lord throughout the week. Some of us, I know, we were in these traditional churches whereby, you know, church Sunday was the time when you come to be rekindled, to be rejuvenated, to be refilled. But I believe that Monday through Friday should be a time when we refill ourselves. Amen? And when we come into the house of God on Sunday, it'll be just a corporate celebration. Somebody say, corporate celebration. Yeah, choose a place in your home whereby you can seclude, a place where you can set yourself apart from any other thing that goes on in your life. You know, work is good, and, you know, pursuit of finances is okay, but look for a place in your home. Set a place in your home or in your workplace, I don't know what it is, and choose and dedicate that place to be a place where you meet with God every day. Just dedicate about 10 minutes only in a day. Begin with actually 5 minutes and increase as the Holy Spirit enables you, and you will see a difference in your life. Praise be to God. Am I speaking to somebody? Amen. And when you do that, you know, when you come here, there won't be any struggle, even in worship. When Israel strikes that key chord on the keyboard, you won't even struggle. When Brother Rod is strumming that bass and you feel like you're being ushered into the third heaven, you won't even struggle because you're already there in the course of the week. Amen? Praise be to God. And I thank God for what God is doing. I believe that God is taking us somewhere. Amen? Praise be to God. I want you to turn your Bibles into the book of Genesis, chapter number 17. I'm really prepared for this one, and I don't actually have much time, but I believe that we are going to be blessed anyhow. Genesis chapter number 17. It's amazing. I don't even know why God has been laying in my spirit some of these messages, because I feel this is like a continuation of what we learned last Sunday. Amen. It's a good habit, as we were reminded the other day by our sister Purity, to always bring notebooks in our in the house of God. And then you can jot, not everything, you may not really jot everything, but you will write something that the Holy Spirit will whisper to you. Amen? This is what happens to me. When a minister, and when a person is ministering the word of God, I might take that one word, and I might go home and begin to research on it, and the Holy Spirit begins to break it down on me, for me. Amen? And this is exactly what happens. You may not really get the entire message, but there might be one word that you came here for. Praise be to God. Genesis chapter number 17. Oh, are you ready? Tell your neighbor, I'm ready. Hallelujah. And when Abraham was, let me read it from the Bible. Because you say that I didn't read from the Bible. Well, I have a Bible in my computer as well. I would like us to be very attentive to what the Spirit of God is speaking to us today, because it's in line with what I believe the Lord is taking us to. Amen? Now, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. Amen? Is there anybody who has a different translation? Anybody with a different translation? Huh? Oh, okay, it's already there. Praise be to God. Father, I thank you for ministering to me and for laying this word in my heart. I trust you, Lord, that you will be able to take it as you laid in my spirit, just translate it into the hearts of your children, O Lord. And I thank you, Father, because you are my pastor. I depend upon you, Lord, even to feed the sheep that you've put, O Lord, in this house. And I thank you, Father, because even as we get all connected together, Lord, even to your word and to the precepts of your service, I pray that my God will be led to the very concepts that you want us to learn today. Father, you're going to take my mouth and use it as an instrument to deliver the word even to these children. I thank you, Heavenly Father, and I bless your name. I honor you. I always honor you, Father, because you're always with me. Thank you for protection. Thank you for your good health. Thank you for everything that you've poured out to me. I just stand in awe in your presence, Father, and I declare that there is no other God like you. Therefore, Father, come down, Lord, and minister to us. And I pray that the Spirit that helps us to understand and to assimilate and to ruminate on your word will allow this word to be easier, Father, even as we take it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The story of our father Abraham is a story that really gets into the conundrum of the complexity within a human being, wondering why he has been brought up here into the world, and what their purposes is and what is the will of God concerning their lives. It really takes us into the present day kind of things that we go through as human beings. The story of Abraham, you know, it reminds us of God's love towards his people. The promises and the unlimited love and unwavering desire that he has to reconcile men back to himself. Praise be to God. And when I read about this portion of the scripture, I could not just help but just delve deeper a little bit about Abraham. And I was really astounded about by the certain things that I was able to come up with. I desired to go back to the place, the first point where God spoke to Abraham, and I was really, to be honest with you, shocked to realize that the genealogy that is recorded concerning Abraham in the Bible is not confined to so many verses. Actually, I went to Genesis chapter number 11, verse number 26 to 29, and you can write that down. Chapter number 11, verse number 26 to 29. And I don't know whether somebody can find it and read it for us. I don't even have it. Can somebody find, let me dedicate somebody to read it for me. Who is going to read these scriptures for me? Yes, yes. Can you read it for me? Praise be to God. I just want you to reach there. And can you also prepare Romans chapter number 9, 13 to 26? Now, I want the rest of us to pay your attention and listen to what the Spirit of God is speaking to us. Amen? I went and researched about Abraham. He had a family, just like most of us. He had a family. His dad was Terah. And Terah also had Abraham had three brothers, you know? And one of the brothers' name was Haran, and the other brother's was what? Naho. I don't even know how you pronounce that, but that was his brother. But I looked into the structure of their family, and I looked at it, and I could identify with his family. I could actually identify with Terah's family. It was a dysfunctional family. Praise be to God. They went through the things that we regularly go through as a family. In the first place, I looked at Terah. He had these three sons. Now, the Bible says that Haran died while they were in the Ur of the Chaldeans. I don't know the experience that a parent goes through when they lose a child. But I believe there is heartache and there is pain. And the Bible says that Haran died in the hands of his father. And now when it came to this other brother, Nahu, he married his niece. He married the daughter of Haran. That is what the Bible says. He married the daughter of Haran, who was actually the father of what was the name of the lady? Did you tell us? Milcah and Iscah. And when I looked at Terah, he had so many things that were going on in his life. And a time comes when, you know, he is in the midst of all these things and wondering what to do. And I looked at this family and I said, wow, God, why did you now just pick up one of the sons? Why did you not pick up Nahu? Or why did you not just even, why did you allow Haran to die even while they were in the Ur of the Chaldeans? And I came to discover one thing. The moment God has chosen you, nobody can, when the Lord has chosen you, nobody can declare otherwise. And it doesn't matter where you come from. Praise be to God. Oh, glory be to Jesus. And it doesn't matter. Let me tell you, church. Some of us have come from dysfunctional families just like Abraham's family. Some of us maybe had their dads who were drunkards. Some of us had situations whereby they didn't even have money. You are not brought up well, or you are not brought up in a situation whereby you could probably compare yourselves with families that were well-to-do. And when you look at yourself now and you wonder, oh God Almighty, why did you have to bring me all this far and I'm still surviving? It is because God has chosen you. Praise be to God. And let me tell you, whatever God has marked to bless, nobody can change that idea. When God has blessed to bring you up out of a quagmire of clay, nobody can change that mindset of God. Praise be to God. In other words, when God has earmarked you, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter any other voice that is going to be spoken against what God has declared. And I looked at the whole situation, and I'm looking at Father Abraham, who is our father, and his background, and I'm seeing dysfunctional. I even wondered why, when time came for them to move from the Ur of the Chaldeans to sojourn to Canaan, because Terah decided, I am only going to take, and please, can we please settle down so that we can avoid, you know, let us settle down, let us sit down so that we can all concentrate. Praise be to God. I was asking God,
Why did Terah decide to pick up Abraham? And he picked up also his nephew, Lot, and they decided to sojourn towards Canaan. Why did he have to leave Nahor? And there are so many questions that came up to me. I said, you know what? Probably Terah was so much mad or confused about what his other son had done. And he decided, I cannot take him with him because of the disgrace that he has brought to my family. This family was a dysfunctional family. Number one, Sarah's womb had been closed up. Okay? There are all bad things that were going on in this family. But Terah looks at Abraham and he decides, I am going to pick up Abraham and I'm going to pick up Lot, his nephew, and I'm going to walk with them. Let me tell you, church, sometimes it goes beyond the things that we can imagine and the things that we already know. Because we are only limited to a certain, we are limited to the way we think, we are limited to the things that we are able to do. But I thank God because He is infinitely perfect. He thinks good things concerning us. Even though we may have been put down by our relatives, we may have been dismissed by our parents, a teacher may have dismissed you, maybe in college, but you're still here because God's eye was upon you. And it doesn't matter whether you didn't have any school fees, you made it anyway. You might even wonder, how did I go through college? You might even wonder, how, where, and where did my parents get money to take me to school? But let me tell you, church, because the eye of Jehovah was upon you, nobody would have thwarted the plan for you to be in the greatest nation on earth today called the United States of America. Praise be to God. And nothing can change the plans that God has concerning you. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter where you come from. God chooses who He wants to bless. God chooses who He wants to harden His heart. Praise be to God. He is God, and God doesn't need a board to, you know, He doesn't need a committee or a board or some form of brothers and sisters to come together to help Him make a ruling concerning your life. He is God Almighty, and He says, I have your name engraved on the palms of my hand. Praise be to God. I am here to encourage somebody. This message may not be for everybody, but I'm here to speak to somebody who has been questioning God regarding certain things. Why certain things have happened in my life? Why certain things happened to me? Why these things happened to my family? But I thank God because you're still here. Regardless of the situations that you have gone through, those situations have not consumed you. The devil would have wanted to consume you. The devil would have wanted to disseminate you from the face of this earth. But God had a wonderful plan. Praise be to God. And Terah decides, I don't know, the Bible doesn't really explain it, but he decides, I want to sojourn towards Canaan. I want to go towards Canaan. And he comes to a place called Haran. And when he comes to the place called Haran, the Bible says that they settle there. They had not gone all the way to the place where they had intended to go. And let me tell you, little did even Terah recognize that, you know what, that God had pinpointed and had put his eye upon Abraham. And that Abraham will sojourn into a nation called Haran. Praise be to God. There are certain things that we are doing today, and you wonder why you're doing them. You may not be the one to accomplish the purposes for which God determined to be accomplished in your lifetime, but they'll be passed on to your generation. Praise be to God. I remember many times when I was a young kid, my dad really wanted me to be a doctor. And let me tell you for sure, I didn't even have a desire to be a doctor. And so my dad told me, you have to do chemistry, you have to do biology, you have to do mathematics, you have to do all those things that are connected to be a doctor. And I wanted to do that because I wanted to please my dad. And let me tell you, what a failure it was. Chemistry, I hated. Biology, I loved. Mathematics, I loved. And other laboratory stuff, I hated with a perfect hatred. At the end of the day, I just qualified when I finished up my A-levels. I just qualified, you know, they call me in Egerton University to go and do a Bachelor's of Science. And I had this Bachelor's of Science waiting for me, and I had the bank waiting for me, and I had to choose between the two. And I chose the bank because I didn't want to pursue anything that my dad wanted me to pursue. Praise be to God. In other words, I never stepped myself into an institution where I'd become a doctor. But my dad really desired that there would be, he used to tell me, I wish you would go and pursue this so that you can become a doctor. I long for a time when I'll hear that one of my children is a doctor. Let me tell you, the purposes may have never been accomplished through me. But I tell you verily, verily, that one of my sisters is a medical doctor. And thus fulfilling the desires of my papa. Praise be to God. Right now, listen, church, listen to me. There are certain things that you might be involved in and you're struggling in, and you might be asking your questions. Why am I going through this? I have to work 3 jobs in order to pay the bills. I have to do A and B and C and skip some other things, or maybe skip some other things so that I can meet a point A and B. And it comes to a point whereby you're tired and you're restless and you're wondering and you have so many unanswered questions. It may not be done in your time. Hallelujah. I'm here to encourage somebody that do not grow weary in doing good, for in due season you shall reap a harvest. Praise be to God. When they come to a place called Haran and they are settling up there, the next thing we hear in verse 12, verses number 1 is, and the Bible says, and God spoke to Abraham. Praise be to God. That is everything that I heard. It doesn't tell us about who Abraham was. It doesn't tell us about the genealogy. It doesn't tell us. All that we learn is about Abraham had a wife whose womb had been closed up by the Lord. A dysfunction. And I see Terah looking at that and saying, oh, how I long before my death that I'll see a grandson coming out of the loins of my son. I long to see a son that will emanate from the loins of my daughter-in-law. But the Bible tells us that Terah died in Haran at an age of about 200 years. And immediately after his death, we see in the Bible in Genesis chapter number 12, verses 1, and God spoke to Abraham. Praise be to God. Terah is involved in a dream that is orchestrated by God to draw him closer to the purpose and to the mission that he had intended for him right before he was created in the womb of his mother. He was earmarked that he would be the father of all the nations. He was earmarked that he was the only one that God had chosen to use. Praise be to God. It doesn't tell us that Abraham was so qualified. It doesn't tell us that Abraham had everything so right and put up all together. Let me tell you, church, when God decides to bless you, somebody say that favor is unfair. When God pinpoints to bless you, when he pinpoints to bless a business, when he pinpoints to bless your education, when he pinpoints to mark you out, he will and nothing can stop you. Let me tell you, I don't know what kind of a dream that you have. And many times you open up your mouth too much and shared with some people who somehow quell that vision. I am here to tell you that that dream could only have been orchestrated by God. And if I were you, I would begin to cultivate on that dream, because God has earmarked you and he knows that you have everything that it takes to pursue that dream. Are you listening to me? I don't know what, I don't care. I don't care what grade you had in school. Oh, glory to be to Jesus. I don't even care your status in life today. All that it matters is that the eye of the Lord is upon you. Let me tell you, church, when the eye of the Lord is upon you, people might say so many things concerning me. They might even be jealous about the car that I drive. They might even be jealous about the neighborhood that I live in. They might be jealous that whatever my hands touches flourishes. But they, one thing they may not really understand, that the eye of the Lord is upon me because he has chosen me. And because he chooses whoever he wants to choose, he can curse whoever he wants to curse. He can harden the heart of whoever. Oh my God, are you listening to me, church? As long as the eye of God is upon me, I am not going to be afraid. I'm going to be prepared, because let me listen, church. Even though I may be taken through the valley of death, he will restore me. He will preserve me because his eye is upon me. Are you listening to me, church? Can you read Romans 9, 13 to 26? Thank you. I will have mercy on whom I want to have mercy. Continue, my sister. And I will have compassion on whom I want to have compassion on. Listen to me. God God is not waiting on your effort. There's some of us, you know what? I want to do this. I want to do the other. When the eye of Jehovah is upon you, it is not by your own effort. It is not by your own intentions. Let me tell you, somehow you might even have dragged away and slipped away from the faith and you went away. But let me tell you, when the eye of Jehovah is upon you, you will to even know what attracts you back to his pathway. And for somehow you find yourself, you heard somebody telling you that you won't and you can't make it. And they discouraged you and they threw you out of the path. But let me tell you, the magnet is so strong because it will continue to pull you and attract you and draw you to the path for which God has set for you. So I don't care. I don't care how much you have slipped far back. But you know what? I have that understanding that the magnet of God, oh my God, the magnet of God will somehow draw you from those clubs. It will draw you from whence you have been lost and he will bring you back to the path. When, how you drag back into the path, you may not be aware, but you will somehow at some point find yourself going back. And I feel that the call of God is upon my life. I may have slipped away, but because the eye of the Lord is upon me, I'm going back to the path. It is not by your effort. Continue, my sister. Yes. Listen to this. He raised Pharaoh just to harden his heart. And we might even have so many questions. Why did God have to use a man to harden his heart like this? And why did he add and he has his heart? Can you continue? He chose what he can decide to do whatever with anybody. He decided to harden the heart of Pharaoh, so that his name would be proclaimed in all the earth. Continue. Who is man? Listen, who are we to question God why he does certain things? If God begins to bless Sister Purity, we are up on arms. What did she do? She must have contacted maybe a legal agent in the U.S. government. That's why she's filtering all this money. When God begins to bless Brother Samuel through his business, we begin to say he's connected with some devil worship. Listen to me. Who are we to question who God has decided to bless? Somebody said favor is unfair. When God begins to bless you, Brother Sam, listen to me. Who are we to question the integrity of God because his eye is upon him and he blesses and whoever he chooses? It is time to begin to appreciate one another. When somebody has graduated and he has several degrees, let us go ahead and celebrate. When they call us for a celebration party, let us stop everything we are doing and let us go and celebrate them. Because the eye of Jehovah is upon them, Pastor. He is upon them. When were you called? Remember that time when you're called to go and celebrate an achievement of one of our brothers. And just because of sheer jealousy, you couldn't even go. You could not even open up your mouth to pick up the phone and call them and tell them, congratulations. Because you're so full of jealousy. You're so full of envy. Let me tell you, if you can wait upon the Lord, your chance will still come. And let me tell you, whatever package the Lord has prepared for every one of us, nobody can tunya you. Nobody can snatch it away from you. Glory be to Jesus. Nobody can snatch it away from you. If only we can wait upon God, we can never be everything. We cannot be everything here on earth. Every one of us cannot be worship leaders here. None, nor every one of us be intercessors. But there's a specific purpose God has called you for. And if only you can wait upon your time, because God does not operate on a 24-hour clock. He says that one day is equal to 1,000 days. Oh, he says 1,000 days can also be equal to one day. Is somebody listening to me? Because you know what? That purpose for which he intended for you may not be accomplished in your lifetime, because 1,000 days is equivalent to a day. It might take longer than you might be expecting, but that doesn't mean that the Lord has forgotten about you. It might even have used your daddy just to push your papas and brought you to America so that you can go to Kao Shandoro Basaka. I really desire to go to a university. Even though I never stepped my foot into a university, God still can use me with or without my education, and I still can communicate the word of God clearly. And who knows, maybe Susie is the one who is going to go to the university. Does that mean that I need to throw in the towel and just give up because stuff didn't work out for me? I have to wait upon God, because the vocation for which the Lord has intended for me is ripe, and I need to realize it and grab hold of it. And let me tell you, I can speak like a professor. I can speak like an educated fella, because I know when the Holy Spirit is upon my life and when he takes over my tongue, nobody. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't look down upon where you went to school. Don't look upon where you are raised, because when God grabs hold of you, as long as his hand has grabbed, oh, Shanda, he can cause you to be somebody. Continue, my sister. I will repeat that. Can you throw that, Lorraine, can you throw that part of the scripture what she is reading there? Can you repeat that, my sister? Yes, yes, yes. Can you? Yeah, 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 yeah. He is the potter, right? Can the clay tell the potter, why did you create me the way I look? How many times have you gone to the mirror? Now, we are looking, speaking literally. You're looking at the mirror, and you want to put a canvas in front of your mirror. And you want just, you hide the part of this part because you don't like it. And when you're brushing teeth, you just want to look at your face. You finish up your business and you go. You don't want to look anything below. Can the potter? Or has the potter no right over his clay to make from the same lump one piece of pottery for honor and another for dishonor? What does that tell us? Not everybody is going to be in certain offices that are honorable. Okay? Are we together? How many husbands do we have in here in this house? How many men? You remember the time when you married your wife? Or when, if you're not married any, you met your first love? What, first of all, what attracted you? I was asking that question to Monica and Steve. What made you attracted to Monica? And then she told me, I don't think he told me the truth, but this is what he told me. I saw her gentle spirit, and I saw her, you know, she really loved God. And I agree. I'm not saying that you lied to me, but there must be something that attracted to you physically, her beauty, whether you like it or not. And whatever you saw the very first time you saw, let that not be erased from your oblongata, because it might change. There are some of us that were attracted to women because they had a Coca-Cola shape, you know. I had a young man back in Kenya who told me, in fact, I still remember him because of what he told me. His name was Mogaru. He was a Kisi guy. He told me, Pastor, when I get married, I want a woman who is big, all-rounded. I said, okay. Whatever attracts you, whatever attracted you, Tony, Tuamboy, ingrain it in your mind, because that might change. Are we together? I just felt of mentioning this. Whatever you saw in that man being a macho and understanding man, and you are willing to submit to that man, do not allow that to be erased from your mind. Praise be to God. Has the potter no right over his clay to make from the same lump one piece of the pottery and dishonor from the other? Continue. So in other words, what he's saying is that, you know what, I can make any vessel and I can use it whatever I want, however I want to use it. And no clay has any reason to dispute or to correct me. I am God in my own class. Continue. Continue. Yes.
And have beloved, which was not beloved.
Hallelujah. Continue.
And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there they
will become the sons of
the living God.
Hallelujah. Continue. One more verse, I think. Okay. Stop there. In other words, what God is explaining to us, listen to me, church. God is telling us that he chooses whoever he chooses to use. He chose Abraham in spite of him being in a dysfunctional family. A brother marrying her niece. And the father, I guess, this is what I'm thinking. The father may be so mad with now. And he says, you know what, where I'm going, I don't want you to bring your disgrace alongside with me. Stay in the Ur of the Chaldeans. But I'm going to take, oh, and Haran has already died. There's a tragedy already. But I'll pick up Abraham even though he also has a tragedy because his wife has no child. But I'll pick him up with me anyway. And I'll pick up the son of, who was Lot? Lot, whose father was Lot? Haran. I will pick up this son because his father is already dead. So I'll take them with me. At least, maybe God's eye might be on one of my sons that I think has done me nothing wrong. But let me tell you, Terah didn't know anything about what God was orchestrating. God had earmarked Abraham for a blessing. And the next thing we hear is what I told you in verse chapter number 12, verses 1. And God said to Abraham, now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will bless you. I will increase you. I will increase you beyond any measure. And I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And the Lord comes and displays and takes Abraham into a panorama of the sky and tells him, I will bless you. I will bless you. If you can name, if you can number the stars that you see in heaven, so shall you also be able to number your descendants. And the next time we hear God speaking to Abraham was about 10 years later. At this time, he was 75 years old. And 10 years later, the Lord speaks to Abraham in chapter number 15. And now the word of the Lord came upon Abraham in a vision around when he was about 76 years old. And he told him, the Lord still is interested. His eye is consistently on Abraham. And Abraham tells the Lord, Lord, you know that you have shut. I don't even have a child. I'm 76 years old. What am I going to do, Lord? You have not given me a child. Lord, what are you going to do? And the Lord tells him that I will bless you. He says, you know, I want probably Manasseh. Manasseh, you know, who was a man born in his home, would be the inheritor of his estate. He said, no, but I will bless you. I will bless you from the son of your loins will inherit you. He was 76 years old and God gives him the first promise. Praise be to God. He cannot be your own heir, but you'll have an heir that comes out of your body. Oh, glory be to Jesus. And after they had stayed in that land for about 10 years, Sarai comes and he realizes, I'm still advanced in age and I don't know where. I know we received a promise from the Lord, but I don't know how it's going to take place. Can you take my maid and go lay with her so that she can give me a child? And Abraham submits to the call of his wife. I know you know the story. I'm trying to rush up here quickly. And he tells him, okay, you can go lie. And for 13 years, when Ishmael was born, until the next time that God speaks to Abraham, he was 99 years old. And regardless of missing the voice of God, God's eye has never deserted him.
I still know Abraham. I still know when he came out of the Chaldeans, and I marked him out, and I intend to use him as the father of all nations. Out of him I'll build up nations, regardless of him disobeying my voice. I still have a chance in Abraham. Let me tell you, church, sometimes you feel like you don't have any other chance because of the things that you ever committed. And every time there is judgment within you, at every single step, every step you try to make, oh God, can I ever come back to you? I want you to tell, when the eye of Jehovah is upon you, it consistently, it doesn't matter where you'll go. You might even slip into hell sometimes, but let me tell you, the eye of God is still upon you, even in that hate, and he intends to pluck you out. And for 13 years, Abraham thought that Ishmael was the son who would inherit him. And God comes when he was 99 years old. I was asking God, God, why didn't you leave this man alone? 99 years old, you're still interested with him. Everything, every strength gone. In fact, when God told him that he will bear a son with Sarah, he laughed. He fell, the Bible says he fell on the floor and he started laughing. Can you imagine a 99 years old, a voice, visible voice comes from heaven and tells you, I'm going to bless you through Sarah. Lord, to be honest with you, the way even I feel, I cannot do nothing. And even when Sarah was told that she was also going to give a son, she also laughed. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter at a point of life where you are. And it doesn't matter how long the promise has taken place. I can't even finish this, man. This is so deep. It doesn't matter the point where you are. At 99, the Lord came and told him, revealed himself into Abraham. And this is what he tells him. And Abraham was 99 years old. And the Lord appeared to Abraham again now and said to him, I'm the Almighty God. I'm the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Walk before me. Surely, at 99, the Lord is telling, think about this old man now. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Now, elsewhere, I would like you to read this. We're almost done now. We can't even finish this, but I would like you to read this. This is so good. Exodus chapter number 6, 1 to 3. Can somebody read that to us? God reveals himself to Father Abraham as God Almighty. And when God comes to Moses, he reveals himself as God Jehovah. And at this time, I want to believe that when God even reflects, Abraham doesn't even have a clue of the abilities of what God can do. To Moses, he revealed himself as God Jehovah. But to the forefathers, to Jacob and to Isaac, if you read in the Old Testament, they refer to God as God Almighty. There is difference in their names here. What is Lord God or God Jehovah? The name Jehovah, what it talks about, it talks about a God, are you listening to me? Who fulfills his promises through performance. Are you listening to me? He fulfills his promises through performance, and he perfects his performance through finishing his work. And that is just about what Abraham is just about to see. He's just about to witness. If only he has tarried this long for 99 years. And we have read in the book of Exodus that, you know, to our forefathers, to the patriarchs, he never revealed himself as Jehovah. And all this time, don't you thank God for these men? They had not even witnessed what God can do. They had not witnessed a greater manifestation of who God is. They knew him as Lord Jehovah, but they had not experienced the movement of God ever. And God comes to introduce himself now, and he tells him, if only, church, listen to me, this is so powerful. I want you, I am just about to reveal yourself, myself to you as a name that you have never experienced to me. This is exactly what I want you to do. I want you to walk before me. Hallelujah. Say, walk before me. I want you to walk before me, and I want you to be blameless. If you can do that, then you will see the significance of what then my name Jehovah means. Praise be to God. Walk before me and be blameless. Those were the instructions that God gave to Abraham. In other words, I'm just about to make a covenant with you. Everyone who is in a covenant with the blood of Jesus here has entered into a realm where they know God not only as God Almighty, but we have now come to know him as Lord God Jehovah. Lord God Jehovah, who is omnipotent. He has unlimited power. Lord God, who is omniscient, who is unlimited in everything that he knows. He is a God who is omnipresent. He is everywhere, anywhere, at any one time. And he tells Abraham, all I want you to do is walk before me. What does walk before the Lord means, church? It is setting him in front of us at every single minute. My brother, son, setting God in front of us. There are three things that we do. At this time, you're listening to me and you're thinking. There are some times, if you're not thinking, you are speaking and verbalizing some word, or you're in a conversation. Number three, if you're not either doing those two things, you are acting upon something. So you can either be thinking, you can either be talking, or you can be acting upon something. And the Lord is telling us, as he was admonishing us last Sunday, that when you are involved in these three things, in your thought life, in your conversations, in your actions, set me before you. Set me before you. Whatever thought that comes into your mind, before you process that thought, look as if the Lord is looking at you. Whenever you are involved in a conversation, see like the Lord is looking at you. Whenever you are acting on anything, see like the Lord is looking at you. There is a surveillance eye every time consistently looking at us. Are you listening to me? I've been a security officer before. And let me tell you, one of the jobs of a security officer is being in an office, and you have some CCTV cameras that monitor what goes on within a building. Let me tell you, I've seen things. If you have ever been a security officer and you're given such a privilege to be under monitors, you see things that you can never imagine. Human behavior is very crazy. I'm serious. Let me tell you, those things ingrained in my life, in my brains. I watch somebody walking out of their car, out of the office. They're going dancing. Nobody's looking at them. They're dancing. It's like they're so jolly. And they get into their hearts and they try to punch out something. I was wondering, what's going on? This guy's alone. And first of all, they're looking whether on the other side, whether somebody's seeing them. And they're looking on the other side and nobody's seeing them. And they start to do something funny. I said, that guy is unaware that somebody somewhere is looking at him. Actually, I saw something that I don't even know how to speak here. I saw a woman. I don't know whether it was a young woman, but she looked on this side. I think she was really pressed. And I wondered, why is she pressed? She came out of the office. She could have gone, you know, to help herself in the restroom. And she looked on the other side. And I'm wondering now, do I look at this? I'm a security officer. This is part of my job. And I looked on the other side, and I saw a fairy movie. I said, God, help me, Lord. And she peed there at the next to her car. She peed, actually. I've never witnessed anybody from the opposite side doing this. It's such a biological process. But anyway, what I'm trying to see, there is always a surveillance eye. God wants us, whenever we are thinking about something, imagine that the surveillance eye of the Lord is upon you. Are you listening to me? Whenever we are involved in a conversation, I want you to see the surveillance of the Lord looking at you. Whenever you are involved in any, whatever action, even though the pastor may not be there, or a brother that you so love is not there, the eye of the Lord is under surveillance, under you. And that's what it means by walk before me, Abraham. Because the moment you know that the Lord is watching unto me, I am going to watch my actions. I'm going to watch the words that emanate from my mouth. And I'm going to do everything according to what the Lord, what pleases the Lord. Are you listening to me? The eye of the Lord is consistently under surveillance under my life. And the next thing, and I'm closing now, he said, walk blameless. What walk blameless means is this, is ascribing to his sovereignty. Ascribing to his supernatural power. Because let me tell you, if we are to walk blameless, then we have to depend upon his strength to help us be blameless. Because we are surrounded by so many things that will derail us and put us out of the pathway for which the Lord intends us to be. But when we ascribe to his holiness, when we ascribe to his almightiness, when we ascribe to his strength, when we ascribe to what he is able to help us, then we shall, Lord, I feel like I want to mess up right now. Somebody cut me through traffic and I feel like I want to get hold of their neck and disable them from their neck. Let me tell you, Sunday, and I like confessing my sins to you. I preached a very powerful message last Sunday, right? I know some of you will be embarrassed with me, but I have to say it. Confession is good to the soul. So I preached a very powerful message, and after I left up here, I am right now driving my truck, and I had a load to deliver in San Antonio. And when I got to San Antonio, Jesus, Lord have mercy on me. I repented, by the way, before I tell you the story. Some driver, I don't even know, he was sent from the pits of hell, comes and, you know the way you could be in a line to go and so that you could be in line to go and deliver your thing? This guy comes and cuts me. I really believe he was sent from the devil. Cuts me and he was behind me. I don't even know what he was thinking. So, and then, you know what he does? I refuse to give him way, because why is he cutting me? It is very early in the morning. And I was there early, I don't know where he was. So, he begins to, you remember, you know how those honk? He begins to honk that truck honk, and I said, oh no. No, 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 he cannot do that to me. I told him, I opened the door of my truck and I went to do, what do you think you're doing, mister? The guy came out. I said, now this is the time when, let me tell you, I had no connection of saying that the eye of the Lord is watching on me at that time. Now, when he came forward, I realized that he had a kind of like a Canadian accent. Either he was a French guy. Let me tell you, man, he rained so many filthy words that I cannot even tell you. And I told him, who do you think you are? And immediately, let me tell you, the Spirit of God reminded, what were you preaching last Sunday, yesterday? I said, God, I understand I preached that message, but I need to hold the neck of this guy right now, and then I can repent later. Let me tell you, cut a long story short. That guy came to my face like this. You know the way men come, like they want to fight each other? Like, can you stand, son? This guy came to me, told me, you, unprintable. And he came close to my face. I wanted him to touch me, but thank God he never touched me. Anyway, let me tell you. With all humiliation, I went to the truck. I started crying. I told God, I am so sorry. I just told the church yesterday that every day is a worshiping moment. Lord, this is not worshiping. And Lord, I ask you, please, Father, please forgive me. This will never happen again. What I'm trying to tell you is this. The devil will every single moment try to thwart the processes. Every time you want to make a stride and you're in the right direction, he will try to derail you. But it is, the thing is, I went back and repented and I told the Lord, please forgive me. And I know I'm right with God. And the reason why I told you this is not to embarrass you, but to tell you that we are all vulnerable. Nobody, even the biggest preachers that you hear out there calling themselves whoever they are so vulnerable. And everybody can fall into temptation and can slide. Are you listening to me? My time is so far must spent. Listen to me, church. God is up to something good. And I told God, God be helping me. I want to every time be meditating, because in the first place, I should actually have given that guy the space. Surely that was the devil sent out to come and distract the good news that I preached the previous day. But I fall the victim of the devil. But I thank God because I realized it and I repented and I told God, forgive me. And I'm telling God, God help me so that I don't come into a close to a Canadian like that, because I don't want to lose it. The point is this, keeping ourselves composed to the obedience of Christ, and he is going to help us. But even when you fall, you got something, you got an option. Lift up yourself, realize where you are, and tell God something about it, and he's going to forgive you. Are you listening to me? Stand on your feet. We'll have to continue the next time we come, because I need to tell you the meaning of Jehovah and what you have in your life. When I was in Kenya, many times we would hear Benhin is around or Bonke is around. Or even today here, when a famous preacher comes, you find this church will be filled up. Oh, I'm waiting for a word of God. I'm really looking forward for a word. But that will be for next time, okay? Touch the person standing next to you as we pray together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Are there certain things in your life that really put you down and you felt, you know what? I didn't deserve to be where I am. Or I've gone through so much and I don't even know why I'm still alive. The thing is, the eye of Jehovah is still upon you. And the Lord, I feel that the Lord is telling some of us here, I want to manifest the significance of the name Jehovah in your life. The God who fulfills his promises through performance. He wants to come and fulfill the promises he has said to you before in the past by performing and manifesting that thing to be manifested into the natural. And he is also able to perfect that which he performs by finishing the work in you. But there's a precondition. He says, walk before me. Walk before me. Set me before you. While you think, while you act, while you converse, set my presence before you, and walk before me blameless. And you will see things that you've never seen in your life. Some of the things that have stagnated in our lives is because we have not been consistent in setting him before us. And let me tell you, church, it is not that everything will be smooth. There will be big hindrances. But the thing is, if you consistently know that there is a surveillance eye of the Lord in front of you, even when you're in trouble, then you can trust him. Father, in the name of Jesus, I don't know to whom this message was intended here, but I feel in my spirit it was intended for some people. I pray that you shall strengthen some, you shall encourage others, and you shall remove others from the paths from which they are. Lord, I pray that just as we learned here 2 Sundays ago, that we need to be fertile soil. Father, to receive that seed, oh God, and it will gain root and germinate and bring forth a harvest. That is what ECC will stand here for. A people who come not only to church to hear good sermon or to enjoy a worship service, but people who take the word of God and apply themselves to it. In the name of Jesus. Father, you've called us to be worshipers. Worship is a lifestyle. And now you're calling us, Father, to walk before you, to set you yourself before us, Lord, and to walk blameless so that we can see the manifestation of Jehovah. Lord, I pray that you shall touch us in a special way, oh God. Strengthen the marriages in here. Strengthen even the single women, the single men, Father, who are in this place. Strengthen the children. Father, illuminate your light, oh God, of truth into every one of us, that, my God, our walk with you will not be a disgrace, but it will be a blessing in the name of Jesus. As you hold hands, I would like you to open up your mouth and declare a blessing on the person who is on your right-hand side. Open up your mouth, declare a blessing over their lives right now. Declare a blessing on the person who is standing on your right-hand side. Bless them. Bless them for what God is just about to do. Bless them for what God has done in the past. Bless them for what they have gone through, because God is just about to unleash a package into their life. Celebrate them even as you pray for them in the name of Jesus. Father God, bless them. Bless them. Yes, in the name of Jesus. Open up their eyes in the name of Jesus to see the goodness of God, to see the presence of God in the name of Jesus. Illuminate their lives. Illuminate into their pathways. Illuminate into their minds. Illuminate into their hearts. Illuminate into every area that touches their lives in the name of Jesus. Illuminate, illuminate, Lord, to the glory and honor of your name. Hallelujah. Yes, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. As we face a brand new week, I declare that this week will be a blessed one. Father, you shall bless the works of our hands, and we shall walk before you, O God, and we shall be blameless. We thank you because, God, we shall walk high and not beneath. Our children shall be blessed, O God, and we shall walk in the majesty of your power. Yes, we shall experience you as Jehovah. Yes, God, the Lord God. Thank you, Father. May you bless, may you minister to us in a special way. You might be in this place, you've never given your life to Jesus. Receiving Jesus in your life is the most important experiences you can ever have in your life. Let me tell you, you can have money, you can have a lot of wealth, you can have so many things, but nothing even comes close to you having eternal life in you and an assurance that you'll live with God one day. Verily, verily, I say unto you, unless a man is born again, he can never see the kingdom of God. There's one requirement that God requires of man, that he may come back and restore his relationship back to God. How do you do that? You're asking me, Pastor? It's very easy. The Bible says in the book of Romans 10:10 that it is you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross and that he resurrected and he is seated on the right-hand side of the Father. You believe in your heart unto righteousness. You are made righteous by believing just that. And you open up your mouth and confess that Jesus is Lord, and you're born again, and then you're born again. Simple as that. And now, I want to ask, is there anybody in this auditorium who would like to just do that? And we are going to pray for them, and they're going to receive the Lord. Detach your hands from your neighbors right now. If there's anyone like that, just lift up your hand up, and we're going to pray with you. Is there anybody who would like to receive Jesus tonight, this afternoon? Hallelujah. Is there anyone who would like to receive Jesus in their life? Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that your hand will be upon us. For those that are sick in their bodies, I pray that you shall bring healing in the name of Jesus. For those that are waiting upon you, may you show up and show off in their lives in a mighty way to the glory and honor of your name. This we pray. In Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. Look at your neighbors. We bid each other the words of the grace. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. May the Lord bless you so much.